The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by Time to Set the Stain. Time to Set the Stain! Ha 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 ha! Preparation Triple H! It's all about the stain, and how you make it, all about control your bladder, can't hold it, all of you is wet, heaven forsaken, embarrassed and shamed, underlined and bolded. I am the stain, you're the one who made me, I left my mark, no way you can change me, you pissed yourself, no way not to spray me, I am the stain, don't ever mistake me. Look at your pants now, soiled in the sun, like a diaper toddler, ready to run. I am the stain and I set the rules. You piss on yourself and you look like a fool. Try to hold it in as best as you can. I left it myself like a fire hydrant. Can't hold it in like a dog at his bark. Cause I am the stain and I'm leaving my mark. Time to set the stain. Preparation. Triple H.
I've had a good mind to tweet that to somebody now that he's got an account to do it on. Now hold it all in, gentlemen. We're here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a pretty good rabble around the table this week. Let's start over here with VRM.
One week removed from being sick, and only an hour and a half removed from RPI taking a 5-0 win over Clarkson. You still suck, Clarkson!
Easy, big man. Let's see. And in the shadow of OVW, Tyler Brown.
Hello. I was reading something this week that King Kenny Bolin was saying that an interesting idea would be to have Jim Cornette and Ryback take on the new menu item from Steak and Shake. It's called a 7x7. Feed him more. Oh my god.
Ryback would destroy it and Bolin would just get help from his doctor. And my third over here would be Tom Delgado. Hey, did you get your new box yet?
And death count equals one.
Thank you very much. I think, let's see, the 90 seconds has got to be a bloody record here.
It's darn near close to it.
Thank you, boss.
It's a new world.
Actually, it's an Academy record.
My new cardboard box is in the mail. Well, actually, it's not in the mail. It's... Hey! Get off of my cardboard box, you rambunctious teenagers! I'm gonna need another box.
Maybe the upstairs neighbors will get a new washing machine. Anyway, let's get this started here. Monday night. We had quite a bit actually happen on Monday night, which is a good thing. Being on the road to WrestleMania, you gotta keep stuff going. They decided to launch the show with what was potentially going to be the demise of my dear Uncle Paul. Although I'm kind of proud, Tyler. He got the first swing.
Yeah, that was a pretty good shot, but you know, if you're gonna do anything with the boss, remember the boss is a bad mother. Shut your mouth. That's all I'm saying.
Well, in fact, you know, Vince was starting to get the upper hand when a wild Brock Lesnar appears. Brock uses Intimidate. It's super effective. This was then followed by somebody who was looking for Brock.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
But oh, what a brawl. What a lovely, lovely brawl, VRM.
And what a lovely, lovely hard way to the back of the skull.
Well, I already knew that Lesnar had a sweet spot back there. I'm remembering during his first run when one of the Hardys brained him with a chair. He broke the Mudimeter. Then he broke the Hardys. So, Tom, did you hear how Lesnar had to go back there and get 12 staples for that?
I thought it was 18.
Was it?
I think it was 18.
Okay. So, Tom, you heard he went backstage and they had to get him all stapled up. He wanted to come back out.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the wound right now, Nikki. I have the picture right in front of me. And damn, that's nasty. He got busted wide open.
And nastier still, they handed him an industrial staple gun and told him to fix himself.
Oh, jeez. What the heck is this? ECW?
I think Brock would have been an excellent fit in the original ECW.
That's hard.
So, but yeah, this was a few weeks coming. We all knew that eventually Lesnar was going to show up to kill, and the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, yes, I know he's not evil, was going to come and get his pound of flesh, so to speak. I was not going to comment about the stain on his jeans. I honestly don't believe it was the fact that he drank too much water before he came out. And anybody can go ahead and reference back to one of Lesnar's interviews in the previous year. You know, you don't need to be looking in his eyes. Look at what's running down his leg. So we have Lesnar Triple H on the books. VRM, is that helping you get to WrestleMania? Because I know you're getting a little worried.
That's helping me a little bit. It's actually giving me one match that I could look forward to, since it was actually confirmed. Considering that the rest of the card so far has been either meh or why are they still doing this?
I know that there's a lot of disappointment when it comes to the fact that Swagger is not only getting to stay on TV, but it looks like his match with Del Rio is a go. Tyler, a hot angle's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, the hot angle is part of what they need, but in the midst of a economy that hasn't fully picked up, they're going to have to do a lot to make people, even though it is the biggest event of the year, at the prices they're currently offering WrestleMania for, people will still have to second guess whether it's worth it to drop that 60 or 70 or however much money they're charging for WrestleMania anymore on that pay-per-view. And part of it is, okay, are the storylines, are the characters, are the matches, you know, going to make me order that pay-per-view? Or is it same old shit I've probably seen on Raw about 3 weeks ago, absolutely free?
You got a point. But Tom, you know, with all the background noise regarding Swagger's missteps a couple of weeks ago, you know, it's just a surprise that he's allowed to continue.
I've seen guys get punished for worse in the past, for like not worse, less.
For less.
Excuse me. Yeah. But, and this disappoints me a lot. I mean, with all the drug-related stuff that has been around WWE performers, like in the past years, like the Jeff Hardy stuff when, like a few years ago in TNA when he was like way too, yeah, this is disappointing. Well, I wanted to see WWE take a, sorry.
No, 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 please. I interrupted you.
Yeah. No, it's all right. I wanted to see WWE take a really hard stance on this thing.
And I wish they would. I'm kind of hoping that Swagger's working Mania and not getting the paycheck. I don't know if they can. Well, I don't see why they couldn't do that to him. But unfortunately, this angle is too strong for them to just flat out drop. But we've got all this time before Mania to salvage it. I think Zeb Coulter's the only one that's keeping it propped up, and even his patina is starting to wear through because now he's starting to sound like a broken record.
Yeah, I think, honestly, that kind of character that Zeb Coulter is, as good as Dutch Mantel is with any kind of character, it's very one-dimensional and not much range.
Hopefully they'll be able to broaden on it, although just to add a little more fuel to that fire, they decided that since Glenn Beck refused their interview saying that he would rather be doing anything else, Michael Cole put his press hat on. And this was actually kind of fun to watch, VRM. Have you seen this video?
No, I have not.
Okay. Cole and a small crew, pretty much a handheld and a boom mic operator, even though Cole had a wired mic, they went into Glenn Beck's offices in Dallas and tried to get an interview with him. They were very civil. They were very straight up. Cole was doing his, you know, his reporter, I won't say war correspondent, but his genuine reporter chops were showing in this video. And the secretary, you know, was hesitant to talk to him. Security was, you know, giving flack about the camera. And then the owner of the building threw them out. So no, they didn't get their interview. But what was even funnier is at one point on this video, VRM, you got to see this. I believe it was the owner who said that Beck's not here. And Cole said, I just spoke to your secretary, and she said that he was working on a show right now. So he's got to be in the building. Well, unfortunately, the WWE crew got shooed out. So what kind of message do you think that's sending?
Simple enough that Beck doesn't have the huevos to stand up to what he said. He's not going to be able to back it up. I think that he realizes he was stupid for what he said, and now he's trying to backtrack and, you know, put all his, you know, his, I don't even know what the proper word is. I would say people, but some of them probably aren't exactly all that proud to be his lackeys. There we go. Lackeys. You know, if he doesn't have the balls to do it himself, that spoke highly of his, well, not so highly of his character. It just, it said everything, really.
There you go. So let's see. Something that we didn't see Monday night. There's still no sign of The Undertaker on television. Tom, there's a video running. There's a video out there. Have you seen it?
I have not, but I've heard about it. I've heard that Undertaker was at a house show near where he. No,
Waco.
I think that was
in Waco,
yeah. And he worked a match there. I think was a tag match. I think it was with Sheamus. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly.
And you know, while Undertaker doesn't, you know, it looks good. He's put on a little bit of weight, but that's just because he hasn't been able to work out because of his shoulder and his hip and with enough time before Mania, I think he'd be fine. And anybody who thinks he can't go, there's a photo out there of him doing old school. So this 40-plus-year-old man with a bad hip and a bad shoulder still walks the rope. You tell me if he's not going to go this year.
That takes incredible balance. He'll be fine.
That's what I mean.
So that's standing, or is it going to be him and Punk?
At this point, they're going to have to give Punk something to do because, although admittedly, I'd almost give him a week off for next Monday after the amazing instant classic of a match Monday night.
This was a pay-per-view match.
It was. I've had a couple people tell me they would have paid money to see that match. Tyler, what'd you think of it?
Of the main event from Monday?
Yeah, that amazing miss of Cena and Punk just playing the crowd like a cheap guitar.
It was nothing short of amazing.
I think we can start drawing parallels between that and their Money in the Bank match.
And that's something that came to mind. It had a lot of the same energy, and we were nowhere near either of their central fan bases, if you will. You know, they were in Dallas, and it almost sounded like Chicago. We had the guys kicking out of each other's finishers, breaking out of each other's submission holds, and Cena knowing more than four moves, which we got to stop picking on him about. We got to stop picking on him about that, Tom.
Yeah. I'll say this. When it comes to Cena submissions, I like when he throws the crossface better.
Yeah.
But I'll give you... Yes. Okay.
No. Don't go ahead, Tyler.
I was about to say, but the instant classic in my mind of the match was somebody using a move. That's right, the one that I'd like to say that Lawler made very famous back in his time. The pile driver came out of the woodworks.
I don't think anybody saw that one coming.
No, and just the crowd reaction was worth it. And I'm glad that the crowd popped for it because they had to hide the noise that was going on backstage. Vince McMahon wasn't happy because it wasn't cleared. Pretty active for a guy who just had hip surgery. So... But, yeah, Punk busts out of pile driver. Cena busts out of Hurricanrana. What?
Anything you can do, I can do better.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you couldn't.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't horrible, but I'll tell you what, Cena shouldn't add that to his arsenal. Blew my mind, though. I know somebody who rewound their DVR a few times to watch that again because they didn't believe it.
The sit-out was decent also.
Oh, that's true. He did a Batista bomb. There was just some beautiful, crazy, crazy stuff. Yes, we knew what the outcome was going to be, but actually, no. I can't say that. There was doubt. That's what made this such a match. The story was amazing, and at points you were thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to let Punk go after Rock again.
I was thinking they were beating each other up so much. I was like, can these guys answer to 10 count for a double?
I was still waiting for the Shield. I fully expected the Shield to interrupt this mess. The Rock comes down and breaks it up, chases him off. They decide that they're going to do, and we get the triple threat that we've been joking about the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So, But Cena gets the opportunity. And for people grumbling about the match graphic being done so quickly, that's SOP in sports media. If you got stuff, if you got it narrowed down to two or three, you build all the graphics anyway. Yes,
yeah,
they.
I know that with in our RPI TV, what we've done is when we get a big matchup for like that's gonna be okay. This is gonna be one seed. This is gonna be the other seed, and then basically this is for a championship. You set up your titles beforehand, and that way, whichever one you have, he's like, okay, this one happened. Put this one up.
Right. It's not because they knew the outcome. That's just how sports media works. Let's see. What else happened that? What else happened Monday night? Oh yes. Someone has been added to the Hall of Fame. We have our celebrity inductee. Donald Toupet, I mean Trump. I believe that was VRM's head desk.
No, it was just a facepalm, but yeah.
Good. You had the same reaction I did. Because I you know, okay, I will give him WrestleMania 4 and 5. I am 100% okay with this. But everybody knows my beef about 23. And if anybody wants a recap, I'll be happy to explain. Trump did zilch standing outside the ring at Mania. That clothesline was the only thing he did in the course of that match. And they showed more of Vince getting his head shaved and Donald Trump prancing about like a peacock than showing the trivia question of the participants in that match.
I think there was like one shot of Lashley in that entire segment.
And there might have been a quick cut with Umaga in it. Maybe. And that just, excuse me, I don't want to say what I want to say, so I'm just going to use this.
Jesus!
Thank you. Tyler, let me get your thoughts on this. Trump in the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame.
Can we fire him?
Actually, I would settle for if Vince inducts Trump, I want them to stand there and try to fire each other. Tom, if you're still here, what'd you think? Tom? I cannot hear the Tom. I do not hear the Tom. All I hear is a helicopter in the distance. That's all right.
Yep, dog.
Oh, okay. No problem. So, yeah, I voted for Barker. But I understand it's New York. You know, it's another way to draw Joe Q casual fan in. But, meh, they probably should have inducted him sooner.
You know, they're lucky they got my money for the actual event. I'm not paying to go to Hall of Fame.
Not even for San Martino?
It's not so much that I don't want to go see that. It's just that I need the money to pay off the damn student loans.
That's a priority, because that gets real ugly real fast. I already know somebody. I know a couple other people who are in that hole. I'm one of the few and the proud and the lucky that I didn't have to go that route. But Mr. Trump is going to be placed in a Hall of Fame, something that he absolutely positively did not need. Then again, he probably is loaning Vince $90 million to clean up the mess that was the political campaigns. Oh, did I say that out loud? For you Twitter people, the evil boss, Dr. Levis Q, has finally been taught how to use it. At Triple H is the actual Twitter handle. And since they went ahead and announced it on Raw, that means it's official, it's real, and all that happy-dappy. If you're looking for someone to follow, you could always just check me out at Ms. Nikki Heyman. Yeah, feel free to pester me. I might answer. Let's see. I'm going down my list here of things that we need to talk about. Ah, yes. We can talk about next Monday, which I blew by the commercials. I feel bad now. Next week is Old School Raw.
Yay!
There you are. And
I got a piece of cardboard box back from those damn teenagers. Cheese graters are a really fun thing.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ow.
Ooh.
I made them bleed. I'm so proud.
just crawl into your box here. We got with this Old School Raw, we're gonna get the Old School set. We're gonna get the announcers in. I keep thinking of the Monday Night Football jackets, but that's just me. All that's missing is Ventura at the table, or no, they'll have the sirens. They just won't have the Ico Pro signs.
Maybe we get Vince with the old Raw polo jacket deal thing. I don't know.
They'll probably make Cole wear one.
Yay, I like those.
So, the only thing we know about the Old School Raw, aside from the intro and the set, is that the Evil Doc is going to be there. But we don't know if he's going to perform or if he's going to promo. Since he's already had his time playing around on Twitter and actually touted, you know, he's probably going to, I think the first thing he's going to do is cut a promo on social media. Then he's going to pedigree somebody. So there's your spoiler for Monday night. VRM, what would you like to see on Old School Raw?
Besides a WWF logo?
I admit that, yeah, they're using the WWE hybrid logo that John Cena made famous back in 05? 04, 05? I recall a shirt.
Yeah, there was a shirt. I just don't remember what year. It might have been 05.
I forget, but I recall the shirt vividly. But, yes, besides having the classic block logo VRM.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of what I...
Oh, I know it. I just found it. It was in 2004, around the time when he won his first U.S. title.
Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Tom, what would you like to see at Old School Raw?
Other than an Iron Sheik diatribe against Hulk Hogan?
Ain't gonna happen, but go ahead.
I know. I has a sad... But
I knew,
I'd
yes.
like to see... Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'd like to see like a match involving some legends. Honestly, I'd like to see a legends match. I don't know who, but yeah, I'd like to see a legends match. Some make it a real old school.
Yeah, we'll get something. Tyler, what would you like?
Well, I'd like to see something that hasn't been done in a while. if you're going to call it an old school Raw, make it more than just the feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe pull something out of the woodworks, like maybe an old stipulation match, or bring people back other than the usual suspects. I think right now it's like Hacksaw and a couple of them who are basically road agents right now anyway, so it's not like you're really doing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe bring in Gold Dust, you know, even if it's just another one-time shot, you know, kind of get that spark going back between him and Cody, and maybe have Goldust come back after Cody. I mean, I don't know. It's just something other than what they've been doing, because if you're going to sit there and spend all this time advertising, oh, it's such a special old-school Raw, and then you basically just have the same matches. I mean, don't get me wrong, don't discontinue a storyline, but kind of, you know, do something a little out of the ordinary if you're going to spend all this time marketing it, that it's going to be so much more different.
Well, the one thing I have heard is that most storylines are going to be on hold for this show, so we will get a few different things. I saw a suggestion about Steamboat, Steamboat versus probably Cody Rhodes. Actually, I've got a better idea. I don't think Ricky is allowed to wrestle after his stroke in 2010, but he could manage Richie, and maybe Rick and Dusty have a chat backstage, and Dusty tries to talk Cody into wrestling Richie. Cody does it under protest, but we get to see Richie on TV. Yes, that's not old school, but you'd still get the old school feel of having Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and American Dream Dusty Rhodes. Now, there's also talk that, you know, they haven't revisited when Barrett was talking to Ricky Steamboat. This was a couple of months ago, to get Richie on TV. It's going to happen sooner than later. But regardless, I'm looking forward to the show, because I like I love the fact that they do the old school intro. They put new footage in with it. I was joking with some people on the boards that, you know, how they would do stuff. You remember the last old school Raw where Mark Henry came out as Sexual Chocolate? I dare somebody backstage in authority to make Ziggler have to go out as the caddy or the cheerleader.
Oh, geez.
Cheerleader.
Oh my God.
Either one would make me laugh. Either one of those would make me laugh hysterically. I would turn into Tom Delgado.
And then see what it is. You have him like kind of being shoved out there.
Right.
Or no, make it about three times better. You have not only Dolph, you have to have Big E and AJ all wearing the cheerleader uniform.
I sense some ulterior motive there.
No.
And I don't think they make cheerleader outfits that big for Big E.
It's the WWE. They can do any damn thing. At least a tracksuit.
Yeah, but like I said, I hear a little bit of ulterior motive, because AJ will be out there in a cheerleader outfit.
Oh, suck
it. No.
Yeah. I can't fault you. No, I can't fault you guys. I really can't.
Yes, because we've had to endure a lot of your John Morrison and other talk, so I think it's a little fair to balance this show out.
Now, hold on. I'm actually willing to have Dolph Ziggler go to the ring wearing a shirt, negating the six reasons why I watch him on a regular basis. Yet you guys are all for this cheerleader biz just because AJ gets to bear a little midriff.
She does all the time anyways. What's new?
So, you know, I protest. I have every right to ogle abs if you guys are so busy ogling boobs.
I play the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 10th.
There would be an appropriate sound effect here.
Well, I gotta say one thing that stands out with AJ. At least she's all real.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, boy.
This is what you got yourself into. There's no going back now. Turbo speed ahead.
You sound like a bad version of Jeff Hammond doing NASCAR coverage, Tyler.
I could be dead. Never mind. Not going there.
What have I started? What have I started? Moving on.
Let us never speak of this.
So, what else have I got? Ooh, financials. Or at least some of them. Let me get the rest of them. And there might be something here that I'm going to read to see how long I can go before Tom Delgado starts laughing. Because they did all their financials thing, but they also talked a little bit about the network.
Is it dead yet?
No. Okay, Tom.
Yay.
I'm going to start reading this stuff about the network. I want to see how far I get before you just die of laughter. WWE announced today a series of initiatives to fuel growth, most notably the elusive network idea. As noted in several previous stories, the network would include access to every pay-per-view show except WrestleMania. They're looking at a monthly price point between $12.99 and $14.99 and would need about 1 million monthly subscribers to break even. I'm losing VRM. Their report and statements today indicated they expect 2 to 4 million homes subscribing by 2015.
My home will not be one of them. I'm cheap.
Keep in mind that this past Monday night, a free edition of Raw, which drew well over the average rating of the series, was viewed in 3.4 million total U.S. homes. Yet they still claim to have current fans in 47 million U.S. homes and former fans with a good product that they can get back in another 16 million homes.
Actually, I don't disagree with that number. There are a lot of fans who have stopped watching, and maybe the network gets them back. Maybe the network alienates them more. I don't know, but I don't disagree with the numbers.
I think the numbers are just a little high. Just me.
They may be a little high, but it's in that range.
Let's see. They are going with the idea that they can convert 4-8% of the current fan homes to becoming network subscribers. They are projecting an annual earned average before tax profits to increase by $50 million per year with 2 million subscribers to $150 million with 4 million subscribers. They still don't have a release date.
They've bottled it. They really have bottled this whole thing. If you're talking so much about this network, you should have put out a release date at some point instead of teasing us with more and more details that we're probably never going to see at this point.
Well, it's just, you know, they put out release dates when they first started announcing it. This was supposed to happen last year. And it got pushed back, Go ahead.
And where did we go wrong with that one, WWE? I mean, come on. Get going.
they made the mistake of thinking that everybody, you know, was going to say, oh, look, a shiny new network. We're going to jump on the bandwagon. It doesn't work like that.
Oopsie.
So they've got a bit, you know, they had a lot of climbing to do, and they're still trying to put it all together. So it's just, you know, congratulations, Tom. You got all the way through that. I'm surprised.
It really wasn't a laughing matter to me. I was kind of looking forward to the WWE Network, especially if they had the content. Like, if they have, as long as a network has good content, like, for me, it would be a lot of classics. That's the kind of stuff I want to see. Mm-hmm. I was looking forward to that opportunity, so this was really not a laughing matter.
Well, they've got it. Go ahead, VRM.
I'm just trying to find information on if they're going to do any kind of what's it called? MetLife Stadium train thing for New Jersey Transit for Mania, which so far they haven't. But of course, they have to mention that they have the Super Bowl stuff set up.
So, let's see. But let me look at the last part of this. WWE put out a chart stating that if they launch the network, they expect overall profitability in 2013 to drop between 3 and 10 million. But by 2015, they expect it to increase by 40 to 80 million.
Sounds to me like they're willing to take a short-term loss for the next, like, 2 years or such to make sure that this thing by 2015 is rolling in the money.
Well, here's the problem, though. In this economy, who's going to pay $15 for a single channel?
Exactly.
Especially when you're cutting out $25 for HBO and Cinema, or for HBO.
And it's, you know, I'm just saying, what's going to happen is that not enough people are going to bite on it when it debuts. Then it's going to get bundled in a package of other channels, even more channels that I don't need or want. I can't justify it. Mm-hmm. If they can't deliver it to me for under $10 a month. And if it's the only channel I'm getting, I don't have a problem buying it as a single channel. I just have a problem with their price point. It's still too high to me.
Yeah, they could do with lowering the price point. I mean, by lowering it, you're going to get more subscribers, and that will offset the profit margins taken away from lowering the price itself.
Right, but they've been having way too much fun raising their prices everywhere, so... You know, it just bothers me, but they've been able to increase revenues on their live events, even though, let's see, I hate jargon. here's some more numbers we can look at. They were able to bring in more people for this past year's Hell in a Cell. That was up 17,000 buys. Survivor Series took an enormous nosedive. They lost almost 80,000 viewers between 2011 and 2012. And TLC remained steady in the 170,000 range. So... I'm not sure what they, you know, it's something screwy with Survivor Series.
I just don't know what went wrong.
There it is. That's what I was looking for.
I don't know. It's that sound bite that gets me all the time with the derpy and the derpy.
Derpy.
Derpy. Now, if I'm, you know, we joke that Vince McMahon doesn't jump on bandwagons. He usually, you know, he usually finds out things about 10, 15 years later. However, Vince, we will send you an idea, even courtesy of one of your own people. WWE needs to team up with Hasbro.
I used to wonder what friendship could be.
My little pony.
Until you all shared its magic with me.
Additional vocals supplied by Titus O'Neil.
But Heyman made me do it!
Not in that form, though.
I just wanted the line. But I just, dude, come on. We just gave WWE the biggest idea ever.
Hey, you guys, I'm going home.
Hey, Jim. Right, get worse.
Watch your step on the way out, Jim.
My throat still hasn't recovered.
And we're dead.
I picked out the room.
The show has been thoroughly derailed.
The show has hit rock bottom.
I hope he did. I hope the GM wasn't listening at that point. Give me a second. What does the GM have to say? You might think that combining WWE and other products, damn it, he was listening, is something that would be unique, but unfortunately, they've beaten you to it. And Chris Jericho has managed to give Sci-Fi some crazy ratings with Robot Combat League. I want to talk about that after.
I know, I forgot to watch something this week.
They replayed it right after SmackDown, but I'm going to go back and take a look at it. And somebody in their sick and twisted mind is putting Ric Flair on Celebrity Wife Swap. So they're bringing in four other contestants.
I got it.
Thank you. I don't think he wants to spill any his alimony all over everybody else. Nobody can afford that. But at least we know what I know why he's doing it. For the money. But yes, you'll need to talk about Jericho a lot more later in the show. Yes, I will. And since I've already destroyed everybody, I think everybody's going to need a drink. Not that kind. At least a drink of water. Snack bar's open. The restrooms are available. We'll be back in a few minutes once we've composed ourselves and give you some more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
Hello, this is DC Lundberg, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Channel 3, sing along with Jim.
Oh, no!
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman with Tyler Brown, with Tom Delgado, and VRM apparently did die of laughter, so we had to go get Typho. Typho, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So we understand that you were live and in person at Raw in Dallas on Monday.
I was the live reporter on the scene, yes.
Anything that was out of the ordinary besides the fact that people got bled on by Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, blood seems to be a problem when they come to Dallas. And Brock got busted up last Monday. I'll have the image burned in my head of Vince McMahon from the 2003 Survivor Series probably for the rest of my life, watching him make a swimming pool of blood on the announce table.
Ah, yes. And that immortal image of him peering over the ring apron. Was that the same match?
No, that was...
That was Mania
19, I think.
Sorry. But... anything good off-camera, I should ask?
I'm trying to think. I guess everybody by now has... I don't know if you've seen Superstars or not, but... one of the matches they taped was Tensai and Brodus Clay against Primo and Epico, part 500 or however many times they face now. But Tensai has a singlet now, so he matches Brodus Clay.
Okay. And
yet still has his face tattoos.
But I need to play this for you, Typho.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
On one of your recent appearances on my show, you made the comment about Tensai and Brodus Clay getting together, and the first thing you said was that they would get to squash Primo and Epico a few dozen times, so here you go.
It's like I can see the jobber future for certain teams.
So, but did they do anything crazy for a main event dark, or did they, you know, did any good local talent in the pre-show?
As far as after the show, they did nothing. There was no match. It was basically after the show went off the air. I'm assuming it went off the air when Cena was walking to the back. Because I was watching the screen trying to see when it cut, and I think that's when it was. But pretty much all that happened after that was Punk eventually got up. He kind of looked around, tried to heal in the crowd a little bit, and then he left. And that was pretty. There was no match afterwards. That was pretty much it. Trying to think in between. I mean, we had probably the previews for about 500 different WWE films, movies. Saw the one for Dead Man Down like 5 times. The
Call oh my. Like
3 or 4 times, and then they snuck in a Marine Homefront one for the fun of it.
Well, we got all of those at least twice, the home audience anyway.
I'm glad it wasn't just us who had to suffer.
No, trust me, it wasn't just you guys.
At any time there was downtime, we got one of them.
I'm sorry. Normally they at least have something otherwise entertaining, and those are entertaining in their own way.
I do understand that I didn't see him, but apparently Lance Hoyt was there visiting backstage somewhere.
Cool.
I'm sure there were several people that were. I don't know who else was there for sure, but he's the only one I'm aware of that was there. No local talents got to do any dark matches. There wasn't a dark match. They just taped 2 Superstars matches and then went into Raw. And I don't think there were any security guard spots for anybody, at least not that I remember.
No, okay. Well, a couple of faces that we did not see this week. The first one being Chris Jericho, who, as I joked about last week, he gets so bored raising a family, touring the world wrestling, touring the world as a rock star, so he decided he wanted to be a game, he wanted to do another game show. I can't really call it that. Robot Combat League, I reiterate, is full-size live-action Rock'em Sock'em robots. The technology's pretty sound, and Jericho is definitely enjoying himself. The show was on the web as of last weekend, aired on Sci-Fi on Tuesday, and did better than any of the Sharktopus movies. Had to get that in there. Target demo. Almost 750,000 people watched this show.
Bad.
And they, granted this first show was only a couple of bouts and just introducing you to the cast, which they also did. I still say it's a media grab where they have a young lady who is in MMA, which is unremarkable, but she's the daughter of George Lucas. So yeah, we need to have her on the show. Is your father available? So I'm sure he made a 5-second cameo. He was in the commercial, so I'm sure that got a few more eyeballs over there. All of that has already been taped. So then you say, well, where's Jericho? This is this is 1 week I probably should have had Beeman on because Jericho's all the way on the other side of the planet right now. He's probably living another one of his dreams, Tyler. He's touring with Metallica.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure him getting to hear that he gets this opportunity, his head probably explode.
Actually, I think the more appropriate pairing is Fozzy and Anthrax, Tom, just because I want Jericho to be on stage when Anthrax does their rap song. I am the man. I am the man. I'm bad. I am so bad I should be in detention. I am the man. Oh, wait. Hi. Seriously, look this song up. It will kill you. In fact, find the uncensored version because they actually stop in the middle of the song.
Ooh, I like when they break from that.
If I remember correctly, they stopped, because somebody played something incorrectly, and you're like, and you hear one of the band members say, "Joey fucked up." So, I wish I still had a copy of this. This was just amazing and hysterical. I believe it's just called "I'm the Man," and I would pay WrestleMania money to see Jericho jump out there with Anthrax during this song. Might just be me.
I'd pay WrestleMania money to see Jericho do anything.
Well, the good news is hopefully he will be back for Old School Raw next week. And just for shiggles, and WWE, you may steal this idea, I want him to do his entrance. He'll have the sparkly jacket, but he's wearing a wig.
Back to the Lionheart days, I reckon.
Something like that. I'd love to see him go out there with the Lionheart wig, or do his 99 debut Pebbles hair.
To bring him out in his suit.
Ah, Sirius Jericho.
Let him do a serious promo.
Yes, let him call. Random Heels parasites and sycophants.
German invaders.
No. Just the fact that now I've got it in my head that he comes walking out in the suit and he starts in the serious character. For all those of you who are here tonight, welcome to my show. And he just keeps going with that, but his excitement starts to escalate, and at some point he takes his coat off, elbow drops it, and goes completely Y2J on us.
The elbow dropping the clothing sounds a lot from the Ric Flair handbook.
Yeah, but I had to sneak that in there. Hopefully he'll be back. He'll be back on Monday. I still want to know when this man sleeps, because I don't think he does.
Maybe Jericho.
Maybe while he's down in Australia, he can go call up Nathan Jones to jump him on one of the shows and set up a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, that'll put people to sleep, including him.
Oh, wow.
Nathan Jones wasn't good enough for WrestleMania 19. Is he good enough yet?
Nope.
I doubt it.
He's the Colossus of Bago? No.
I think he's still in jail, actually.
Did he end up going back to jail? Because I know he did a couple of movies.
I don't know. I'm going to look that up now. I will have an answer momentarily.
All right, take your time.
Wasn't he in The Condemned?
I don't remember. I think he was in
Austin's movies.
Okay. I think he was. Wasn't he one of the villains in Argo? Or I know he did one of the. I know he's done. He did a movie 3 or 4 years ago, where we saw him as like a gladiator or something, and just kind of caught me off guard. But it would blow my mind if he showed up.
He'll be at Old School Raw, maybe.
I don't see anything about him being in jail again. But here's something that some of you listening might not know. Some of you who don't know, there were ESPN2 used to air the World's Strongest Man competitions from like the 90s. For those of you who weren't not late owls like I am. Or Night Owls. He was in the 1996 World's Strongest Man competition, if my research is correct.
Hmm.
And there was an arm wrestling event. I think it was actually 95. I get them mixed up sometimes, but in one of them, he had his arm broken in that arm wrestling event.
Damn.
So there's something you didn't know. Now you don't have to look it up, because I just did the work for you. Now where's my commission?
For all those of us who are planning to research Nathan Jones later tonight.
All one or two of you in Australia or something.
How about this, Tom? I'll give you a roll of duct tape to keep your cardboard box together.
Yay! I feel good.
So, what other nonsense did I do? I have to. I don't want to talk about TNA. Do I have to talk about TNA?
Do I get to do another live report after lockdown?
That's this Sunday, isn't it?
It's a week from Sunday, yeah.
Oh, okay. Do they have a full card yet? I think they had 5 matches the last time I looked.
Yeah, I think they're at 5. I don't think they'll probably fill out the rest out on next week's Impact.
So, now has anybody here been watching recently?
I have.
Okay. I don't have cable to actually watch with, so no.
Okay. Supposedly the head of Aces and Eights was unmasked, but we didn't see who it was.
He's the VP. He's supposed to be the VP of Aces and Eights. I don't think he's the leader. He's just like the figurehead leader that we see. But there's supposed to be another leader, like a main leader somewhere.
Ugh. I'm glad I'm not watching it at this point, because that would have pissed me off.
I think we've seen that leader before when they kidnapped Sting and Hogan and brought him into the Aces and Eights clubhouse. But that's the only time we've ever seen him. And he did the old having his chair turned his back to him, so you heard him but you didn't see him.
Okay.
But this other guy, this mask guy, the last mask guy they have around, he's the one they call the VP, so. And yeah, he was unmasked, but you didn't see who he was.
Okay.
Are you sure this wasn't one of Vince Russo's ideas?
Maybe if they had it like kind of filed away for later or something, I don't know.
But I don't know. That just would have pissed me off, because the one report I heard is that it looked like a heavyset guy, so it might be Joe, it might be Abyss.
I could tell you who played him at house shows. I don't know that that's who it'll be on TV.
Who was it at the house shows?
D'Lo Brown.
No, it's not going to be D'Lo Brown on TV. If it is, there will be another fan revolt.
I think it has been him on, like, actually playing the character when he's seen, but I don't think that necessarily means that's who it's going to be. I mean,
right.
He's just there, and I think maybe they just need somebody to play him, and they didn't know who to be yet or something.
Let's see. If his body type hasn't changed much, that means he's a stand-in for Bully Ray. Still say Bully Ray's going to be an Aces and Eights.
At the same time, they did kind of do a setup a few months ago where D'Lo Brown would make sense if they actually did use him in that. They had him as a gut check judge because Al Snow went missing, and the guy he gave the okay to in gut check was Wes Briscoe.
Okay. I haven't heard anything. Did they actually gut check's not back off the ground, is it?
Like the non-televised gut check?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they've started it back up. Like, they took the voting down. Or
allow me to jump in here.
Yeah, boss.
There was a female one last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the gals from Tough Enough, Eva Lise, I believe her name is. Against some big heavyset woman.
That's the Barbarian's niece. Lady Tapa or something like that was her name.
Yeah, that's it.
Here we go.
And they showed like video of her like training with the Barbarian.
Yeah, if you remember Eva Lee, she was the one that got hurt and got cut and toughened off midway.
And she just got released from NXT, what, maybe 3 months ago.
Well, let's see. I went to go take a peek at our fine sponsors at WrestleChat.net. We had talked about Old School Raw in the first half of the show, and some names are out there for next Monday. And unfortunately, Tyler, we got some of the usual suspects: Flair, Mean Gene, Dusty, Jim Ross, and Hacksaw.
Very underwhelming.
More
they
names.
Have these guys just like stored away in a closet somewhere. It's like, hey, we need legends, and they just open the door and they all file out. Hey, look, there's Slaughter and Piper, Hacksaw.
They have the Legends Ranch, you know. Everybody just stays there, and it's like, hey, by the way, we got a field trip this week. What are we doing? We're going to Raw. Oh, yay!
Yay!
Hey, we haven't done that in a couple of weeks. Hey, look, there's Ted DiBiase and IRS.
It would only, to me, honestly, it would only be good, and this is, I guess you'd call it a wild card for a Raw, but only if Paul Bearer shows back up on Old School Raw, it would be okay. But other than that, meh.
I want him to just go full. Some kind of Attitude Era show and just bring in like the Headbangers, Kurgan, Tiger Ali Singh, and just all kinds of weird random Attitude mid-card guys that we don't actually see every other week.
Gilbert.
The only problem with Tiger Singh is that him and Sheik actually would share the same music and it would confuse the shit out of people.
More wait, like the or the new audience would be, who the hell is Tiger Ali Singh?
Exactly.
Just like we were.
Or just be like when every Asian guy used to use the Orient Express theme song.
But, you know, I'm hoping that they do find a couple of guys that we haven't seen in a while. Is Jannetty out of jail? Can we get him on for a minute?
I think he's been hired and fired 3 times since the show started.
Well, we know Sonny ain't welcome. They're gonna be up close to Canada, so they might be able to twist Trish Stratus's arm to drop by. If they're in Buffalo, they should be calling Beth Phoenix. Anyway, sorry. One of the other people that was missing from television this week was JBL. Who hopefully is getting his CDs cleaned so he doesn't skip on them when he's doing his commentary. Currently, I believe he's in South America on his Seven Summits deal. I think it was a tout from, you know, halfway up the mountain, and spent most of the time berating Michael Cole.
As he should.
In fact, Michael Cole got to be a chew toy a couple of times this week. Even, you know, the Glenn Beck thing wasn't planned, and he actually looked like $1 million coming out of that. But when they did the sponsored match of the week, they bring out 2 trays of greasy fatty food and give it to the heart attack guy. Tom, I face-palmed when they gave all that food to Lawler.
You probably only ate it because it's a sponsor and you don't turn down sponsors on TV.
And granted, he only had a couple of bites, so that's not gonna do any long-term damage, Typho.
Not gonna kill him.
Right.
I mean, is it any worse than, like, 2 weeks after his heart attack when he posted the pictures of him, like, eating a burger and flipping off the camera.
There you go. What made it even more amusing, Tyler, is that they wouldn't give Cole anything on Monday. He actually got something on SmackDown, but he didn't get anything on Monday.
What did he get on SmackDown? I guess the same thing, or...
Well, they put out trays. They put out a tray for Josh and a tray for Lawler, and I think he stole one of Lawler's sweet potato tots.
Damn right. He's a journalist, damn it.
He should have gone for the dessert.
He was a war correspondent.
Lordy, lordy, lordy. That also reminds me. This week's SmackDown, color me crazy confused, because it was shot on Tuesday, but they advertised this as Social Media SmackDown, where the commentary, you know, where commentary was, you know, was recorded and supposedly live, but I think if I listened close enough, it was general enough at the right points to make it sound live.
We're being interactive with a taped show.
Yes, that's some media magic right there. That's some
my
serious
head explode.
I wish they would have done like some Twitter polls, like asking us to pick a match or something, like vote for
right.
Who's in some match. It's like this show was taped 3 days ago. It's like, let's just take a look at the spoilers and see who we're supposed to vote for.
Well, they actually had a poll, and that was for who should face Del Rio, I believe, next week on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And they've got, the vote that they put up was for Ziggler, Barrett, and Cesaro. Now, Ziggler won the vote, Tyler, but who would you have voted for?
Wade Barrett.
Thank you. So would I. Dom, who would you have voted for?
I would have gone with Barrett as well.
Typho?
I would have gone with Cesaro.
Yeah, actually, I, all three of those matches do sound good. I just... Del Rio, Barrett would be stiff as hell. Ziggler would bump like a madman. Ed would have an excuse to cash in. Cesaro, I think Cesaro and Del Rio would put on an amazing match. So, yeah, I could... I'll tell you what. Hey, Booker, let's make it a gauntlet match.
Also, if he faces Cesaro, it could prepare him for WrestleMania, since he'd be in there with the real American a little early.
That's funny, and unfortunately true. But then again, we joked last week that we thought they were going to pull the plug on Swagger, and they could have just given Coulter to Cesaro. No, Cesaro doesn't need a mouthpiece. CM Punk doesn't need a mouthpiece, but he's got. Dear Uncle Paul in his back pocket if he needs him. So, let's see. Ooh, I did not know about this. Russell Chat has such wonderful news. We all mourned when Karma was released from her contract with the WWE.
Yes.
Let's see. She is working. She's still out there in the independents. She's open to coming back. And I would be very open to having her back, because then maybe they would actually do something with the Divas division. So...
I'll say at least right now they're not really forcing them on TV. I think
No. They
finally realized they have absolutely nothing in their division.
Yet they still bring them out for the occasional useless and pointless tag match that nobody watches.
I was gonna say, when do you think I run to the concession stands?
Obviously, when the Diva match comes on.
Bingo. Which yeah, I will have.
Raw on Monday. I mean, I never had a chance to go anywhere because there was no Divas match.
I'm sorry, man.
Luckily, though, before the show started, I bought my Shield T-shirt.
There you go. I actually bought a Shield T-shirt, but I didn't buy it from WWE. I bought it from our favorite online cartoonist, Kappa Ame. His Spreadshirt account, he has got tons of shirts. He's done some new artwork recently, including one in tribute to Monday's Bloodletting. Just for you, Typho. But he's, you know, his Spreadshirt account, he's got tons of really, really cool tops. I played around on his account, and I'll pull it up here real quick, where he's got everything from, he's got multiple Undertaker shirts through the years, if you will. Dude Love, Del Rio, The Rock dressed as John Cena. keep digging around here.
I want a Man Mountain Rock t-shirt. Does he have one of those?
No, he doesn't. But he has an AJ shirt of yes. He has a 3MB shirt. He has a couple of shirts that are not wrestling related. The other one that I really dug was the WrestleMania 25 Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. Shawn in the white Undertaker outfit that he wore. And picking on his first promo when he and Taker got in each other's faces. And Taker tries to say rest in peace, and Shawn interrupts and says, "I will be resting quite comfortably." Kappa Ame's cartoons on these are awesome. Anyway, yes, this is all cheap, shameless plugs because I want him on my show. I want to interview him because I love his animations and I love his shirts. So, with that out of the way, see if I can find some. There was one other thing I was going to take a quick look at. If there was anything else I needed to talk about. Oh, warning! There's a John Laurinaitis. There's been John Laurinaitis sightings.
Oh.
He showed up at the house shows. He showed up at the live events overseas.
Would this be the former senior director of talent relations and interim general manager of Raw and SmackDown, John Laurinaitis?
The same, but it's something that might be just a minor scare tactic. It also might be just the fact that Vicky Guerrero, for whatever reason, did not go, so they just needed a figurehead and talked him into it. Since I think he's nothing more than a road agent nowadays.
Just a glad-handing yes man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, sir, Mr. McMahon. He's a stooge.
So, what is there anything that I might have missed? I don't know, guys. Anything else we need to talk about?
I can't think of anything.
Typho?
know, I could give you a second live report from my my indie show with Cole Cabana and Jimmy Jacobs on Saturday.
Did you actually get to talk to either of them during the show, or?
Yeah, I did with both of them.
Cool. Because Cole is an absolute hoot. I had the honor. I've never worked with him formally, but I remember getting to interact with him a lot at an IPW show a couple years ago. And Jimmy Jacobs is shy. Anyway.
I like Jimmy Jacobs. I talked to him for a while.
Is he still doing his Huss the Berserker type thing, or is he on something else? Because it's been a while.
He doesn't really do it anymore. At this show, he broke it out like at one spot during the match, though. He came out with one of those. One of those little cereal boxes, like you pour your cereal into to keep it fresh. He was passing out cereal to the crowd.
It's messed up. Tyler, can you think of anything?
I got nothing.
Okay. Gentlemen, why don't we call it a show? Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Oh. Actually, I knew a little bit about this, but this weekend is the Arnold Expo in Columbus, Ohio, something that I used to attend on a regular basis. Mark Henry, David Otunga, Caitlin, and Oksana will be there. They're doing some stuff on Sunday. And one autograph per person, and that means cattle drive. Okay. One of our other panelists, DJ Peckins, is going to be attending the event. That's out of your way, isn't it, Tyler?
Where is it?
Columbus, Ohio, so about 3 hours from you.
Yeah, my car's not that good on gas.
Yeah, fair enough. Like I said, when I was living in Columbus, I usually try to get over there for at least one day. And I've had the pleasure of running into several different WWE superstars there. I've run into Cena there. I've run into Batista there. We had a random interaction with Shad Gaspard. Actually, Tyler will appreciate this story. I was in line with a couple of friends. We were, I think this was for Batista, and somebody told me that Shad Gaspard was in the building. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. Well, you can't mistake this man, all 6'8" of him. So a couple other people recognize him and start trying to get his attention. So I yell across the hall, I want a picture with the Beast. Beast was his nickname in OVW. I think that was his gimmick. And he hears that, and he gets this great big smile on his face, and he says, I'll be right back. So a few minutes later, he comes back around to the line, and he starts taking pictures with people. And they hand the camera, I hand my camera over, and they had to turn it long ways because this man is 2.5 heads taller than me. And the picture is on NikkiHeyman.com. So,
I've seen it.
Yes, you have. Usually, the Evil Doc finds his way to the Arnold Classic. I don't know if he's going to be down there this year. He's not scheduled, although the last couple of years he has not been scheduled, but we would find out he's there and just not run into him. So, but there'll also be, I believe, some TNA people are going to be there. And
I know. I think Rob Terry's there, and Crimson, and like Velvet Sky, and Robbie E. I think was there too.
Yeah.
Angelina Love's there, but I mean, she's not a TNA talent anymore, but she's there.
So, just something to do this weekend if you happen to be in the area. Yeah, I think that'll do it. Before we call it a night and call it a show, Tom, do you have anything to promote?
Well, other than my Twitter page, which is at RealTomDelgado. Don't be fooled by all the other fake Tom Delgados out there. There's only one real one, and it's me, and you're listening to him right now. And really, that's about it. I just follow me. Follow me. I want the attention.
Is it poor Tom Delgado?
I get lonely.
There's only room for one of you in that box.
I get lonely and on the Twitter. They're all too busy following the Iron Sheik.
Typho, do you have anything to promote?
Of course, there would be Tuesday Night Typho every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Central. Look for me next Sunday, lockdown. I'll be in the front row somewhere, so maybe you'll see me, depending if I'm on the camera side or not. I couldn't tell you by the diagram because they've changed it 3 times. So I'll be in the front row somewhere.
I like the one that was posted with the quote, "TNA has booked themselves in a corner, all right."
I can't wait to see the setup of this build.
I know they haven't even sold half of their. As far as I know, they haven't sold half of their tickets yet.
Well, they sold what they had, what they'd released, they'd sold, and they've released more. But I think they'd only planned on 5,000 or so, and I think they're up in the 6s or 7s now. But I mean, okay. The Alamo Dome, I mean, at full capacity is like 60-something thousand.
That's just gonna be weird.
Yeah, I really don't know what this is gonna look like. The last time I was in the Alamo Dome, I was there. I played in a high school football playoff game there. And I think we may have put more people in the building than we'll be at lockdown. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Tyler, do you have anything to promote?
Not a thing.
Okay. Muckamuck, before we wrap, what do you got anything?
Yes, go to Stitcher.com and listen to us. Just search CLWE3.
Thank you, boss. I keep forgetting to put that out there. I really don't have anything else to promote because Muckamuck took it from me. But yeah, if you get the Stitcher app for your phone, just type in CLWE83 and you'll find all of our shows, including Touch 'Em All, Red State, Blue State, Pixel Nation, Down the Tubes. Did I miss any? Oh, sorry. WLTI. I think that's everything. Yeah, I think that's everything. So, for Tom Delgado, for Tyler Brown, for our resident wrestler in training, Typho, for the already left for the night VRM, my name is Nikki Heyman. You have been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Please tune in next week for more of similar nonsense.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.